part of a missions trip that went to Nepal, Kathmandu, and then out from there to work with Mountain Child. We'll be talking a little bit later about Mountain Child. But we want to hear from them. We want to hear something of their story. We want to hear what it is that God worked in their hearts and what he worked through them. And so we're just going to invite them to come and sit at the front here. We've tried to make it as relaxing as possible. Ask them a few questions, and in their responses, you'll just hear the things that God has been working. So, Jess, would you come and start for us, please, here? Some of you will recognize Jess from the bass player in the praise and worship team. So Jess, this was your first mission trip with Man and Child.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us why you decided to go on this one, because you've been part of the church a little while now.
Yes. I've been part of the church about 2.5 years, and the very first day that I came, I think I heard about Mountain Child, and I thought, I really want to go on this trip. But between my job and vacations never worked out. So I kind of told God, okay, God, the first time that I have vacation, when we have a trip, that will be the trip that I'm supposed to go on. And this past spring was the first trip where my vacation worked out, and I had no other obligations, and so I knew that this was the trip that God had for me.
So God kind of took you at your word when you said, when I know it all matches up, that's when I'm going.
That's right.
Yeah. So when you agreed with God that you would go, you said yes, and you started to prepare for the trip. Maybe you could explain some of the thoughts and that were going through your mind, and maybe some of the feelings that you experienced as you began to comprehend a little bit of what that would mean to go.
There was a lot of, not really fear, but kind of nervousness. I don't really like to do things without planning. And everything we did was without planning. Partway through, we had to choose a team leader, and the team chose me. Which I was not very excited about, partly because as I looked at the trip and I looked at what we'd be asked to do, it seemed to be very much lining up with my weaknesses. And as I looked, they said, well, you might be doing this. I'm like, oh, I don't really want to do that. You might be doing this. Oh, it's a little better. But I felt as the leader, I couldn't step back and say, okay, well, you guys do it. Mm. And, you know, everyone's on this trip. As a leader, I felt, I can't wait. I have to put myself forward first, because people were starting to say to me, I'm glad you're the leader, because you know what, you will know what to do, and I'll watch you, and I'll learn from you. And I thought, I don't want this responsibility. I don't want this. But as we were preparing, I wrote this email. And I'll just read a part of it. And I was writing to the team from Psalm 139, verses 16 to 18. It says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And as I was thinking about these verses, I was realizing that it wasn't really what we were going to do that was the important thing for us. It was our obedience. And if we were obedient to God, then regardless of what we saw on the trip or our perceived successes, our trip would be a success because of our obedience. And we always, when I think of missions trips, I think, oh, we want to go and see this big, amazing thing happen and like reach all these people, and it will be amazing the stories we can tell. But whether that happened or not, And in some ways, it didn't happen. You have expectations, but when you actually go, it's different from what you think, and you don't see immediate results sometimes. But through our obedience, I think we saw results, and there will continue to be results, even that we don't see. And so I think that was important to start from the very beginning with the idea of obedience and not the idea of results.
I think, Jess, that's a really key point, because it helps us to identify something of the purpose for going. And yes, there's the adventure side, there's the scenery, there's doing something that you've never done before, but mission trips are all about actually taking the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ in whatever form that is, and in very much a way of obeying God in that. Not just, yeah, that's something I'd like to do, you know, like a bucket list or something, but just obeying God. And you feel that that's something that God really spoke into your heart as he was preparing you and also during on the trip?
Yeah, I think as we went, the expectation, we really had no expectation. It was kind of, and when we get there, we'll find out what we're doing, which was hard, I think, as a team to say, well, what can we do to prepare? And we don't know. So to prepare was to just prepare our hearts for whatever God had. And so preparing without knowing, it was more focused on how is my heart? I was reading the book of Mark through the whole trip, and there's so many places where it just matched up exactly with what we were talking about. In Mark, I think chapter 4, where it talks about the sower, the parable of the sower, and we always focus on the different soils. Oh, which soil is this person? Which soil am I? Like, am I the good soil? I heard a sermon from a friend of mine, and he said, in some ways, the important part is the sower, and people overlook him a lot. All the sower does is throw out the seeds. He doesn't look at the soil first. He doesn't look and say, oh, that soil's pretty rocky, I'm not going to put any seeds there. Or the soil doesn't look good, I'm not going to put any seed there. He puts seeds everywhere, and he trusts God for the results. A little later in the same chapter, it talks about a man who plants seeds, and then he just leaves them. And whether he sleeps or whether he gets up, no matter what he does, the seeds grow, even though he doesn't understand how they grow. And that was kind of my vision for this, was we're going to go, we don't even know what seeds we're going to be sowing. Are we going to talk to people? Are we going to do completely different, like non-mission gospel-related activities? We don't know. We don't know what seeds we're going to be sowing, but we just had to go and trust the team leader who would tell us what we could say, when we could say it, when to not say anything, when to just walk through and give out balloons, and that was our job. So it was a lot of being ready for anything, but having my heart ready to look at each person and not evaluate if I should share based on their person, but just based on God and what he was telling me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Jess. We're going to have you back in a little bit at the end. I'm going to ask Mr. Cho if you could come, please. Something that we hear so often when we talk to people who have been on mission trips, Mr. Cho, and yeah. You've been on how many now?
It's our time.
This is for your third time.
Yeah, first of all, I want to invite June to translate.
Yes.
Okay.
Here comes June. June is one of those one of those people who you never see because he shuts himself in the little room at the back.
So this time he would like to translate.
Absolutely.
English to, not English to Korean.
He's going to
Korean
create,
to English.
So he normally creates my funny English into Korean for people who can't understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But now he's going to create Korean into English. How amazing is that?
Good.
So this was your third trip,
yeah, third
Mr.
Trip,
Cho.
Yeah.
How long ago since you had been before? What year did you previously go?
I don't remember exactly, but...
Maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah, maybe 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
First time is 5 years ago, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second time is 2 years ago.
Yeah. So share with us, why is it that you keep going back?
Okay. From now on, I will speak Korean.
Yes, please.
Okay. 이번에 간 게 이제 세 번째 간 건데요. 그러니까 목사님 질문은 이제 왜 계속 갔느냐 이제 이런 이제 취지의 질문이신데 얘기하자면 조금 이제 설명이 좀 길어질 것 같아요.
So as Pastor John asked me, this was my third trip to Nepal, and I'm going to try to explain, you know, why I go to Nepal on these short-term missions trip.
Yeah. 첫 번째하고 두 번째 갔을 때는 제가 저기 리모트 빌리지를 못 갔었어요. 그래서 카트만두에서 있으면서 거기에 있는 스태프들하고 같이 이제 인사하고 지내고 그다음에 거기에 이제 렌치라는 그 리모트 빌리지에서 이제 구조되어서 나와 있는 그 아이들하고 같이 이제 지내고 그다음에 카트만두 시내에 대해서 이제 이렇게 다니면서 보고 이제 이런 일들을 이제 주로 했었습니다.
So the first two times that I was in Nepal for the missions trip, I didn't get to go on a trekking. So instead, I stayed in Kathmandu and did, you know, activities there for missions trip. And also we have a place called Ranch where we have children from the remote villages who have been rescued from various severe circumstances, if I should say. And then... So with the staff in Kathmandu, Mountain Child staff in Kathmandu, and working at the ranch and doing activities there. So those were my involvement in my first previous two trips.
아, 그래서 이제 맨 처음에 갈 때는 이제 선교를 하러 간다 이렇게 이제 생각을 하고 갔었는데 실제로 카트만두에서 지내면서 이제 돌아올 때 제가 뭘 깨달았냐면 제가 선교를 하러 간 게 아니라 선교를 받아서 왔다라는 생각을 하게 됐어요. 왜냐하면 일단 카트만두에 갔을 때 저희들이 맨 처음에 받은 것은 일단 문화적 충격, 그다음에 우리하고 완전히 다른 세상에서 사는 사람들의 모습 이런 걸 보면서 이제 충격으로 다가왔고요. 그다음에 이제 신앙적인 측면에서 보면은 저희들이 만나서 얘기한 사람들이 거의 대부분 다 마운틴 차일드 스태프들하고 그다음에 렌치에 있는 아이들하고 이제 주로 많이 얘기를 하게 됐는데. 스텝이나 아이들이나 신앙적으로 보면 저보다 한 단계 더 앞에 가 있는 훨씬 더 깊은 사람들이라는 것을 제가 알게 되었고 그 속에서 거의 그 렌치의 아이들이나 스텝들이 하는 모습을 보고 저희들이 선교를 한 게 아니라 선교를 받아서 오게 되는 그 신앙적으로 더 깊어져서 오게 되는 이제 그런 경험을 하게 되었습니다.
So my first two trips. Well, so when I first went on a short-term missions trip, you know, I was thinking I'm going to go there and minister to people, whether it be the Mountain Child staff or the ranch children or the people that I meet in Kathmandu. Now, however, it turned out that it was actually I who was being ministered rather than I was ministering them because when I first went there, there was a culture shock, like how people lived, you know, the different culture that they have and circumstances or situations that they were under, living conditions and everything. And so also most people, mostly I was interacting with Mountain Child staff as well as children from the ranch. And they actually had deeper spiritual relationship with God and just seeing them actually encouraged me and I was more ministered. And I think my faith also grew as I was interacting, spending time with them.
그래서 이번에 세 번째 이제 다시 가야 되겠다라고 생각을 한 이유는 아무래도 리모트 빌리지에는 한 번은 가봐야 되겠다라는 생각이 첫 번째 들었고요. 그다음에 그 두 번째 두 번 지난 그 앞에 두 번 카트만두에 있으면서 이제 저희들이 갔다 온 경험으로 봤을 때 제가 그 결과를 이제 제 친구들이나 동료들하고 나누는 과정에서 이런 비판이 있었어요. 네가 한 번 정도 한두 번 그렇게 일회성으로 갔다 와서 단기적으로 그렇게 가는 게 복음을 전하는데 그 무슨 힘이 될 수 있겠는가? 그건 그냥 너만 그냥 갔다 와서 좋은 것이고 그게 복음 전하는 거에는 전혀 도움이 되지 않는 게 아니냐. 뭐 하러 가느냐. 이제 이런 문제들을 제기하는 제 친구들을 많이 봤습니다.
So there are mainly two reasons that I decided to go on this my third trip to Nepal. First, I wanted to go out on trekking. I wanted to go out and see the remote villages. And second, I had some friends and colleagues who, after listening to my experiences from the first two trips, there was some criticism as to, so what are you really gaining or doing when you go on these short-term missions trip? Because are you really spreading the gospel or are you just doing some spending time with the, you know, staff, monk, child staff or children? You're not really ministering to them or, you know, what kind of missions work are you really doing?
Yeah. 그래서 이번에 이제 처음에 이제 트래킹을 갔는데 갈 때 이제 맨 처음에 생각, 내가 갈 수 있느냐 컨디션이 제가 좀 나이가 좀 많거든요. 여러분 제 생각에 얼마가 몇 살이나 됐을지 여러분 아마 저기 추측을 하실지 모르겠습니다만은 제가 조금 나이가 많아요. 그래서 이거 견딜 수 있겠는가라는 그런 염려가 조금 있었습니다.
And so, as you can see, the trekking in Nepal is very rigorous activity. It's not like just going on, you know, nearby mountains here. And so, thinking about my age, I was kind of, you know, wondering, can I really do this? Can I go on this trekking with these younger folks, and can I manage this?
맨 처음에 제가 네팔을 갈 때, 그, 지금 여러분들 아시는 분 계시겠지만, 주행 목사님이 저한테 뭐라고 말씀하셨냐 하면은, 네팔 가려면, 10km를 1시간에 주파할 수 있는 그, 체력적인 조건을 갖추어야 된다라고 그렇게 겁을 주신 적이 있어요.
So, my first trip to Nepal, I don't know, some of you will remember, no, Pastor Jack. So, my first trip, he warned me that if you are to go on a trekking, that you need to be able to run 10 kilometers in...
Within 60 minutes,
under 1 hour. You need to be in that kind of physical shape to be able to go on this trekking.
제가 그게 안 되거든요. 그래서 이제... I cannot do that. So... 안 되는데 그래서 이번에도 조금 제가 주저를 했어요. 하다가 근데... 일단 모르겠다. 하나님이 알아서 해주시겠지. 나는 하나님한테 맡기고 그냥 가겠다. 라는 그 하나님 믿는 한 마음으로 그냥 트레킹 가겠다라고 제가 했어요.
So this time, I just, you know, trusted God. Okay, it's all on you. I'm going to trust in you that to take me through this trekking trip.
그래서 결과적으로는 제가 완주를 하고 주파를 할 수 있어서 참 하나님한테 감사하다라는 이제 생각을 하게 됐는데 중요한 거는 그 트래킹해서 리모트 빌리지를 방문하면서 제가 제 친구들이 저한테 제기했던 여러 가지 어떤 비판들 일회성 단기 선교 여행에 대한 비판들에 대한 답을 제가 찾을 수 있었다라는 겁니다.
So I'm grateful that I was able to complete the trekking part successfully, and also through this going to visiting these remote villages and you know spending time there. Allowed me to find an answer to some of the questions and criticisms my friends had about what's the purpose of going on this short-term missions trip because you're there only for a short duration of time. How much can you do?
우리가 한 트래킹하는 과정에서 한 두세 개의 리모트 빌리지를 방문하게 되었는데 그 마지막 방문한 리모트 빌리지가 완전히 불교 신자로 이루어지는 같은 씨족의 사람들이 사는 한 100가구 정도가 살고 있는 그런 마을이었습니다.
So we were able to visit two villages on this trip and on the last village consists of a tribe from the same ethnic group and it was a Buddhist tribe that we visited.
그래서 이제 그때 만난 분이 이제 마을 분들도 만나서 어떤 그 손 씻는 문제 뭐 이런 것도 건강 문제도 얘기를 했는데 중요했던 그런 그 마을에 한 어른이 한 분 계셨어요. 그 어른이 계셨는데 그 어른하고 만나는 과정이 굉장히 중요했던 것 같습니다.
And on that particular trip, we were able to meet this older man who was the leader of the tribe, and it was really important. The important part about the trip was our meeting this, you know, tribal leader and what went on from there.
네. 그 백가구의 불교 신자들이 사는 그 상황이 어떤 거였냐면은 모든 가구는 저기 그 하나님의 복음을 들을 생각이 없는 그런 사람들이었는데 그 마을의 한 분, 제일 어른 한 분은 보니까 지금까지 마운틴 차일드에서 그 마을을 계속 지속적으로 방문했고 스캇은 거기에서 장기 체류하면서 마을 사람들을 계속 만나고 있었고 그리고 그 과정에서 그 마을의 제일 큰 어른에 대한 선교 활동이 몇 년간 지속적으로 이루어지고 있는 그런 상황이었던 것을 저희들이 알게 됐습니다.
So this tribe consists of about 100 families and there are strong Buddhist believers and none of them would really you know wanting to listen to the gospel but Mountain Child has been consistently sending teams out to that village and our brother Scott who's been in Kathmandu for some time now several years now so he even stayed in that village for a longer term and to minister to them to try to spread gospel and we were able to actually talk with this tribal leader
그래서 그 저기 그 마을의 지도자가 거의 이제 그 복음을 받아들이고 하나님을 받아들이고 그 하나님을 믿으려고 하는 그 바로 직전 단계까지 와 있는 그런 상황이었습니다.
And it was that the village leader, the tribal leader, we got to the point where he is opening up his heart and he's becoming ready to accept the word of God.
예, 그래서 마을의 그 어른이 믿게 되면 하나님을 받아들이게 되면은 저희들이 제가 와서 그걸 처음 알았는데 그 종족 선교 한 씨족을 전부 다 한꺼번에 선교하는 그런 어떤 선교 활동이 있다고 하는데요. 그래서 마을 제일 큰 어른이 하나님을 믿게 되면 그 마을 전체가 한꺼번에 하나님을 받아들이게 되는 그런 현상들이 있다고 합니다.
So I found out after I returned from that trip that some of the villages like this is where if the leader of the village or leader of the tribe converts or believes in Christ Jesus our Lord, then the entire village could convert to believe in God.
So what you would say then, Mr. Cho, is that the role that is played by the short-term trips is very important.
Now, yeah. Which means that, I will speak Korean. yeah. 그래서 뭐냐면, 우리가 방문했던 거는 처음 그 마을을 방문한 것이지만, 마운틴 차일드 전체의 어떤 롱텀 비전의 입장에서 보면은, 그 마을을 개개의 숏텀 그 미션 트립을 간 팀들이 계속 지속적으로 그곳을 계속 똑같이 계속 방문하고 있기 때문에, 그 마을의 입장에서 보면은 한 사람이 왔다 간 게 한 팀이 왔다 간 게 아니라 계속된 팀들이 계속 그 마을을 방문하면서 하나님의 복음을 전하고 있는 어떤 그런 모습으로 보였습니다.
So we could actually see that even though our team just went on this one-time trip, but Mountain Child has been sending many teams to this village over the past few years. So there was the consistency of sending and spreading the word of God.
그래서 우리 개인의 입장이나 우리 한 팀의 입장에서 보면은 one time short term mission trip이지만 마운틴 차일드 전체 입장에서 보면은 마운틴 차일드가 가지고 있는 장기적인 비전 속에서 이루어지는 하나의 그런 일이었고 따라서 그 여러분들 아시겠지만 바위에 구멍이 뚫리는 게 빗물로 구멍이 뚫리게 되는데 물방울 한 번이 지속적으로 수만 번 떨어지면서 바위에 구멍이 뚫리게 되는데 우리가 한 역할은 그냥 그 수만 번의 물 떨어지는 물방울 중에 하나의 물방울의 역할을 한다라고 하는 것을 제가 느끼게 되었습니다.
So I felt that you know this our you know short-term mission trip, one-time trip was just part of this larger vision. which God placed in, you know, Mountain Child, and is God is working through them, and we're just part of this. So you know how, like a rock, and the water, you know, drippings of water can create a hole, but it takes about, you know, tens of thousands of drips to create a hole. And I just felt like our trip, our team's, you know, visitation to this village, it was just one trip. And God is working through many teams and through Mountain Child to work on this, to win the souls of this village.
I think that's, we need to get others to come and talk as
well. Oh, yeah, sure.
But I think that's a really important point, because you can go on a short-term trip and you can wonder what impact you can make. You visit maybe a village for a few hours. But as Mr. Cho said, it is that consistent and that regular visitation, the teams going there, that builds the bridges and opens the hearts and enables people to become receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to ask Zeke to come and talk to us now.
Yes,
thank you so much,
you.
Mr. Cho. And June, thank you. Now, Zeke has actually been involved with Mountain Child for how many years?
I guess
20? No, I'm joking.
Oh, no. Five years.
5 years.
Yes.
And actually works part-time.
Yes.
With Mountain Child. Mm-hmm. One of those roles is a graphic designer.
Yes.
And what Zeke is going to share with us today to help us to see how some of these dots all join together, as in the different things that Mountain Child does and the different things that we can do in missions teams, is to talk about briefly some of the core issues that Mountain Child are addressing.
My role is going to be little advertisement of Mountain Child. Sorry. You know, we have a wonderful, wonderful testimony among these people. But actually, first time I joined Mountain Child, five years ago, we had a certain plans. Like, the Mr. Cho already announced about the ranch. And then we have our shelter, and then we invite kids from special rescue. They're all orphans from the mountains, these remote mountain villages, and then bring them into our shelter, and then we educate them under God's gospel. And then our plan is raise them with God, and then send them back to the village, and then they change the people. But the thanks God, actually, this is our new brochure. That's in the back is our old brochure. I redesigned this time. This is first time I show you, this Nation Church is first church to see this one. Actually, we have only one ranch, one facility in Kathmandu here, Nepal's the capital city. But now you can see 1, 2, 3 more ranches. So we reach out more. Actually, God bless us a lot. And then, you know, we have enough resources and then enough fund. So actually, we always, in a team coming from Kathmandu and then travel to all the way to, you know, these Himalayan mountains. Actually, let me give you a little idea about how, you know, hard environment situation here. Actually, Nepal has three different parts. The first is three bends. First bend called flatlands, is the height is 2,000 feet about. And second band is hills. In the mountains here in Korea or your country, probably in Himalaya, is hills, not mountains. Whatever above 6,000 meter is mountain. So you can imagine how high. So we're addressing these top bends, mountains. So once you come here, Kathmandu, you stay in the guest house. And the next day, you get a little brief, and then you go on the trekking. So this time, we went to Langtang area, right above, straight above from Kathmandu. Actually, from, like, if it's in your country, it's like 1.5 hours driving. But in this situation, you know, maybe 5 or 6 hours driving up to the mountains, all the way to end of the road, and then you get off the bus, and then you start trekking. Actually, there are many remote villages in the mountains based on, they sit on the valley of mountains. So each valley, each mountain's valley has one village normally. But the funny thing is there are all different, their culture are all different, even languages. So you visit one, for example, you visit one village and then you speak, when you're greeting people, you say namaste. That's common Nepali, say hello. But if you go another village, then no one understand namaste. You probably say tashi dile or something. So each village might, we need different translator. So like Mr. Cho already introduced the old gentleman in the last village. We couldn't even talk to him, even our steps. We invited local pastor. So whatever we want to ask the old gentleman, we need to say to our staff, and then they translate English to Nepali, common Nepali. And then there's another translator, like you translate Nepali to local dialect. Wow. This is some it's a pretty complicated process. So anyway, so our goal is now, because, you know, first time we focus on only like this area called, I forgot the name. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, Newpri. I'm sorry. Yeah. Newpri. Like, a little bit left side of Kathmandu. This is where we focused on. So, but I think from 4 years ago, you know, we started, you know, try to expand, you know, our, you know, missions. So, like, first time we just go on a bus trip, and then we just sneak, like, villages, and then is everyone's there, and then we just threw our tracks. Hey, this is tracks! But, you know, now we grow a lot, and then now we set up our teams where to go, and then even like specify, you know, who's targeting. I'm sorry, it's my words, but you know, expression. But
well, there's a very clear strategy.
Yeah, very.
There's I think about 340 different people's groups.
Yes,
that are termed as remote people's groups, mm-hmm. of which 325. So all except 15 have never heard the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Mountain Child has felt to target, I think, 25 of
yes.
those people's groups,
yes. mm-hmm.
which are spread right throughout the Himalayas, mm-hmm. and have taken it on as God's mandate to reach out to those previously, and still some of them are unreached. That doesn't mean that there isn't a church there or there isn't a pastor there. It means nobody has yet gone there and talked to them about Jesus. They have no idea who he is. They don't know what a church is or a pastor. They have no idea. And so this is part of the strategy. So what Mountain Child uses to reach these peoples are five
core
issues that they're
yeah.
trying to help, very practical things. What
yes.
name those five for us, please?
Health and trafficking, especially sex trafficking, mm-hmm. and education, most important, and child labor. Every child in Himalaya, they start working on a field age of five. So like little kids, mm. from little kids, and environment
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. So on a very practical basis, Mountain Child seeks to help with things like clean water projects,
yes,
and anti-trafficking
yes.
projects.
Yeah.
And but whilst they are of great help in themselves, of course, they are in the long-term picture.
Yes.
They're like bridges, mm-hmm. building trust with mm-hmm. the local communities mm-hmm. so that their hearts, like Mr. Cho said, would yeah. come open mm-hmm. to the gospel. I mean, there's so much that we can say, mm-hmm. and as a church, we want to talk more and more about what God is doing there. Thanks for sharing that, yeah. Zeke. Going to ask Inhua to come and join us for a few moments. Was this your first mission trip, Inhua?
No, actually, it was third.
Your third as well?
Yeah, third time.
So you're a seasoned campaigner. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a history. I become history of this church.
Yeah, Inhua, I think you've been part of this church. Seven?
More than, I think, 10 years.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going to be presenting her with a gold watch zone for long service. So
yeah.
On this particular missions trip, I know that one thing you were looking forward to do was to meet up with a very good friend of yours called Sano.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Now, Sano is the wife of Mark, and they were family here. Tell us how you got to meet up with them in Nepal.
It was one of my purpose, reason to go to Nepal this time to meet Sano's family, because I've been to Nepal 7 years ago. At the time, I hiked the Himalaya mountain. I know that how difficult to hike Nepal mountain, and then it was so tough. It's so difficult to me. It's a physical condition. This time, I didn't want to hike. So I asked Jake, okay, no, I'm not going to hike this time. Actually, personally, I don't like hike. So in Korea, usually when I go to mountain, usually I use a cable car to get the top of the mountain. So, yeah. And that's why, okay, so I stayed in the city because I wanted to spend time with Sono's family to encourage them, because we've been friends for 10 years. I met them in the church at the beginning. So when they decided to go to Nepal as a missionary, it's the last year. So, you know, I feel like I lost one of my best friends, family in our church. Yeah, as an old member. So, last 10 years, I saw Sono and Marcus' family faith is, what is it, growing in God. I could understand why they decided to go to Nepal. So this time, I want to encourage them, and then I want to see how they are doing in Nepal. But Chick says, no, there's no option, because not many people sign up to go to Nepal. So all members had to go to hike. So, oh my God. Because this time I didn't prepare the physical, physically to hike the mountain, because the I think except Jake and maybe Andre, they have been hiking, but the other member, they are first time to hike. So, but I knew, even it's time passed, but I still remember it's difficulties. So, but it's Jake told me, just 1 or 2 hours a day is not.
Yeah. Did he tell you the truth?
It's not going to be tough. It's not going to be high. So, okay, maybe 1 or 2 hours a day is okay. I can do it. And then so okay. So.
So how many hours was it?
I think it's 6 hours.
6 hours.
7 hours. Yeah.
So did you not get to see Sano then?
Oh no! But it's this time. It's fortunately it's Sano decided to join to hike with me.
She came with the team.
Yeah, that's right. Wonderful. And then I had time to talk with Sono during the whole week. During the hiking, we shared the same room. And then
you shared some kimchi?
Yeah, of course.
We've seen the pictures. You took the kimchi with you.
It's very important to bring the kimchi and red pepper paste to Nepal. So as to Korea. And Samobo is a foreigner who loves kimchi, and it's a red pepper paste. It's very useful. Okay, so you can survive for at least 5 days with the kimchi and the red pepper paste at the top of the mountain.
And toilet tissue.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And so I was so glad. It's like God blessed me to hike with Sono and then share a room with her. And then you open, even if you're a friend in the church, but not many times to share our faith and our heart. But this time we could share our heart in God. And I saw how her heart is in God, and how her faith grows in God. And so it was so blessing.
And you did the hike. Well done.
Yeah,
of course. Give her a big clap.
Yeah.
Thanks, Inva.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think that's a wonderful point for us to close on. And thank you so much, everybody, for sharing that. This point of family. And this is something, just as we close, I want to emphasize. We never refer to the people that are serving God in Mountain Child in Nepal. We never refer to them as a missionary organization. We refer to them as our family, our church family, who just happen to be serving God in a different location. And Mountain Child, I love the way that Young Ho talks about this often when he speaks in announcements about Mountain Child. He says it is the heart response of the nation's church to the need of the remote people there who have never heard about Jesus. And so the people there, Mark and Sunno, that you mentioned, Inhwa, Scott and Sarah Smith, who have been there for a number of years, John and Soyon Thompson, some of you will know these people that we're talking about, and also, of course, Pastors Jack and Jenny, with their families. They are people who God has raised from within this church congregation and has sent them to go and serve him there, but they're still our family. They are still one with us. And we're going to continue with the missions trips at least once a year. We're actually thinking about upping the frequency a little bit. We're going to be encouraging people from here to visit. My wife, Pastor Joe, and I, and another of the leaders, we're going to be visiting regularly as well, because we want to encourage that sense of oneness, that sense of family. We do things here that cause that to be healthy. Every time, every week, when at the end of the service we bring our tithes and our offerings to the Lord, what happens is, and this is one of the policies of the nation's church, 1/10, the very first 1/10 of everything that comes in tithes and offerings, the church takes and gives to the work of Mountain Child. So that's like the tithe of the church. And that comes off before everything else. And we're committed to that. The other thing that happens is that pastors Jack and Jenny, we still, of course, very much consider them to be pastors of the church. And sometimes we may have to adjust our thinking about that because we don't see them very often. But they're still one with us. And perhaps a term that helps us is missionary pastors. They're still very much part of the building process that God is working here. And so what we do on a regular basis every month is that the nation's church also supports them financially. And we're committed to that. And that's not going to change other than increasing in support, because we are one family. We stand together as one. And so part of these Sundays like this is to share what God is doing. Part of it also is to help us to embrace the oneness that God has built and will continue to build here. To help us understand that we're not talking about, you know, missionaries out there, remote, that we don't have any contact with, but rather part of our family. I have my wife as well, amazingly. We have three children. And they're all married. One of them lives in Nepal. That's Pastor Jenny. Two of them live in Australia. So we're kind of spread around the globe a little bit. But listen, we never stop being family. Just because we're not living in the same location doesn't stop us being one. Because that oneness is in Christ and in his purpose, and we all acknowledge he is our foundation. And that's the same with the people that are working in Nepal. We're going to be sharing more about this with you through this year. God is speaking to us in some exciting ways as to how we can increase the support and encouragement to them. And we want to be sharing that with the church family as the weeks roll by. And we just want to encourage you to pray for what God is doing. To pray for the people, not just that come from the nation's church, but there are currently four other families. All of them have got little children, which is quite unusual for missionaries. And there's one other single person, a young lady who's Korean but was raised in Brazil. We consider them part of what God is joining to us as well. And in August this year, there's another family from the U.S. and a single person that is joining the team. And in September, another family with three young children. I think the oldest is like five, who Pastor Joe and I met when we were out there just a few weeks ago. They've said, yes, this is where we're meant to be. And so they're spending the summer preparing to go. Everyone that works and serves in Mountain Child financially are self-supported. So they raise their own support. Mountain Child doesn't pay a salary. Pastors Jack and Jenny don't take a salary out of Mountain Child. Everything is personally raised as their support. And so these people, like you and I, are committed to what God is doing, and they're committed to seeing God raise support for them in whatever way he chooses to. And we're just so thrilled and delighted to be part of that. We want to also encourage you to consider going there. Serious. We're going to be announcing very soon the next date for the missions trips and giving you some outlines to that. And as you've heard from this amazing team, you don't have to be mountaineers to do it. And you don't have to think you're the next Apostle Paul, who's going to go there and preach up a storm. You just need to be willing to go. And like Jess said, which I think is a wonderful point for us to close on, just be obedient to what God says. And it's in that obedience where there's wonderful security, where there's an assurance when we do what God says, that God will be faithful to his word. And I want to share that with you, not just in a missions context, but in our homes, in our workplaces. Let us see those as God's harvest field and our mission fields, because those people still need to hear about Jesus as well. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. May we so love the world the same way that God does, the people of the world, that we're able to give ourselves for his service and his purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close.